faith in Christ? That's a simple answer. How did James do that? Pardon? Mentor. Being a friend. Oh, wait a minute. James had problems. Well, what was the turning point for James? A video clip of a testimony by Thomas. Well, how did Thomas get online with all of this marvelous speaking stuff? What was the turning point for Thomas? Pardon? Friendship with Lisa at work. A man who was bitter, angry with life, focused on what he had lost. So, how did Lisa make a difference? Part of it was friendship. Part of what was Lisa doing? Part modeling Christ. Okay. Invited him to church with her. Now that is a phenomenal, strange occurrence. But she made a friendship at work with a man that probably wasn't really easy to get along with. I'll bet none of you have that in your place of employment, do you? So this didn't happen in a one-time presentation of the gospel, did it? Over time, with friendship, influence. So she invited him to church with her and her husband, where he heard the gospel. Oh, wait a minute, Lisa. She just didn't pop up good old church girl, did she? What's going on with Lisa? College roommate. Saw a change, saw a difference in her roommate, Kim. Friendship? Maybe. Do you think it happened in a one-time Kim grabbing Lisa with a brochure and say, you got to get saved? Or what happened? What's going on here? What's the pattern? Love? Friendship. Time. 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 Lisa saw something in Kim that was attractive. Asked a question. Well, how did Kim get to be this catalyst of these transformations? She was raised in the church. She had a faith in Christ. And so there was probably a children's worker that taught her the gospel. Parents that modeled and shared the gospel. Parents, church. So what's the pattern? Time. Pardon? Sharing relationship with Christ. Do you ever see haranguing? One of the things I hope you see is it's all different. There is no one single way the transformation is done. Christ, there was some mentoring and discipling, and there was some transformation in Thomas. Yes, it took time until he began to see the possibilities, and he had to change his thinking. And Anybody found that change in thinking easy? It takes time. It takes time. Ah, we have a mission, church. Our mission is to introduce people to Jesus so they might know him personally and participate passionately in his mission. And at 15th chapter of Luke, the writer records three stories, and the purpose of all of those stories is to share God's great joy when one sinner repents. This is God's call to us. Wow. Wow. You're Kim, Lisa, Thomas, James, Nate. We have a mission. Oh, we've been singing about and proclaiming this morning's song, God loves you. And how many times we've heard, I got to realize God loves me so that I can love others. And I wonder if God loves me. And I wonder how God does that. And you suppose God loves me. And I'm such a, you just fill in the word. Folks, I want us to move to second grade. Let's move on to second base. First base is God loves me. I've gotten off home base. I'm off to first base. God loves the people around you. God loves the people around you. So last week I shared five transforming truths about God to share with others. Now, last week I focused on God's transforming truths for us. Time to move on to second base. If you watch a baseball game on television and the broadcaster's off, say, okay, you got on to first. When the runner gets to second base, they call that a scoring position. It's easier to get around to home because that's where scoring takes place. You don't score until runner gets to home, right? Folks, yeah, God loves you, but God is wanting to share these truths with others through you. Message that we share with others. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. Yes, God has a standard for you, and there will be change. God never saves us to leave us like we were. God never saves a person to leave them like they were. He births new life in us through our faith in Christ Jesus the Lord, and then calls us to be church in the world. Community of believers, building one another up, a company of saints in mission. In mission. So let's focus at this transforming truth number one for a few minutes this morning. Yes, God loves you. That's a truth he wants us to share. Oh, I know. This truth raises tough questions. And all you have to do is try to deal with a couple of these tough questions once in a while, and you're afraid to share anything with anybody because these questions are tough. Questions like, if God is the creator of all things and he loves me, why does he allow storms that destroy property and kill people? Got an easy answer for that one? If God is sovereign Lord, and if he loves me, why does he allow evil? Why doesn't he intervene to protect me from criminals and my bad decisions? Why didn't he step in and keep me from signing that car loan that I knew I couldn't afford in the first place?
If God truly loves me, why did he allow illness to take my mother?
Or why did he cause me to lose my job? Those are big questions. They're common questions. If you start sharing God loves you, you're going to encounter them. You see, these questions often express expectations of people. Expectations of what it means to love and how we think love should be shown to us. How do we show love? We always be nice. We always give candy. We never confront. We got to be nice. That's an expectation of our world. It's an expectation of how we think love should be shown to us. If God really loves me, why does he allow ugly experiences in my life? Why didn't he raise me in a family or give me to a family that's wealthy and would take care of me right? Why, if God really loves me, why doesn't he bless me more? Because we all know at the end of the day, you have a fun day and we say, thank you, God, for blessing us. Have a tough day, bad turn, oh, God, what did I do to deserve this? What if the bad day was God's opportunity to lead you in growth? So maybe that was a blessing after all. What if? What if? What if those good days would a good day that happened to come together good. Big questions. You see, these questions often reflect pain, disappointment, and deep suffering. And so let me give you a suggestion. When you hear some of those questions, don't try to answer. Do not philosophize. Do not argue, and do not debate. Listen to the story. Probe with some questions and find the story, because very likely there's some hurt, there's some wound, there's some heartache. There's a story that needs to be heard. There could be some tears that need to be shed. These questions reflect a pursuit of philosophical understanding of life. They reflect secular philosophy of a society that's taught on television and in schools. And generally, there are no answers that satisfy. I've debated more than one person on some of those questions, and they finally agreed with me, but I didn't win anything. The issue wasn't the question. The issue was heartache and brokenness. But you see, we have an opportunity to share the news of God and his love. Because in the middle of it, I want us to realize what we really are. You are the light of the world. A light in the darkness revealing the glory of God. That was told by Jesus. He didn't say, work hard to become a light. Learn how to answer all questions, and maybe if you get good enough, you'll be a bright light. No, he said, you are. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be witnesses. Witnesses of Christ in our world. The Apostle Paul said, you are a letter read by people around you. People are reading our lives. What are they reading? What are they seeing? Oh, I know we make mistakes, and somehow we got to get busy and defend ourselves for the things we do with in ignorance. The issue isn't making mistakes. The issue is what do we do when we make the mistakes? Do we get defensive and angry, or do we grow and learn? I'm sure Lisa saw some of those moments in Kim's life. I'm sure Thomas saw that in Lisa's life. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation with God.
So listen to some expressions of God's love from the Bible. Did you know God created us so that we could have a relationship with Him?
Oh, it says we were created in His image, and we get all caught up with what does that mean, and we try to explain it, and we try to just, and there are ways of explaining it.
Basically, here it is, the answer. He created us a way to have relationship with Him. Of all the rest of the creation, it never says those things were created in His image. It's only the man and the woman created in His image that we might have relationship with God. We were created for a relationship with God.
God provided earth for our use. Everything we have. That next comfortable chair you're sitting on, the wood for the frame came from a tree that came from the earth, God's creation. And the fabric covering and the nice padding. Oh, I like that padding. Don't get too comfortable. Where did it all come from? Ultimately, from earth. The car that you drive, manufactured material that came from where? The fuel, we get all upset about where we get it and how we get it and how, you know, all that other stuff. And where did it ultimately come from?
Creation. God's great provisions.
And then there's the story. God came to us in Jesus to reveal Himself and model the life He designed for us. God came in Jesus, reveals Himself, and reveals the life God designed for us. It's all in Jesus.
Oh, we can say, well, there's only one perfect.
No, He designed us to be. That's what Jesus is what God designed us to be. We got a long ways to go. Instead of excuses, we enter into a pursuit of being like Jesus. Then God provided forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with Him through the crucifixion of Jesus. Think about this. Jesus died for our sins that we might live with Him. God paid the price that He demanded for the forgiveness of our sins. God named the price, and then He paid it. Then God provided the Holy Spirit to live within us. The Holy Spirit that cleanses our heart from sin that distracts and destroys us, fills us with God's love, empowers us to live holy lives, particularly in the storms and trials. And a lot of the songs Jason chose reflected that. The Holy Spirit guides us in holy living. And then God promises heaven and eternity for all who follow Jesus as Lord. Those are expressions. But then there's that set of stories. God's love. The story of God's love told by Jesus. Oh, we often call that story the parable of the prodigal son. The rebellious son. And we focus on the son. And we tell the story. And then once in a while, I say, am I a prodigal son or my older son? Am I a prodigal son or my older son? And some days I'm sort of like that. What if Jesus is wanting you to be the loving, waiting father?
I read the story for you a minute ago, and I was trying to put focus on what the father did. No, you can't get away from the two sons, older and younger.
But the real story for us this day is the story of the loving Father. A loving Father who raised two sons, taught them the values of life, taught them how to work. The loving Father. Oh, there was the story of the younger son. The younger son rejected the ways of the father and demanded his release. I want you to notice that second bullet point. What did the father do when son demanded to go his own way? He released him. Gave him his rightful inheritance. Released him to go make his choices. Go his own way. Prodigal is a word that means to waste, to squander, to be reckless. Younger son went out, squandered all his inheritance, found himself broken and penniless. It's interesting the way the gospel writer says, after he ran out of money, the circumstances of life came. There was famine. There was a downturn in the economy. There were no jobs. The unemployment got very high, and he got caught. The only job he could get was taking care of pigs. He was so hungry, he was ready to eat the food the pigs ate. That's bad. And there he remembered home and father. He decided to repent. Repentance is more than stop. Repentance is always turning toward something. It's not just being sorry. Repentance is moving towards. You haven't repented until you started moving toward someone. He was hoping Dad would give him a job. Back to the key character of the story is this. The loving father saw his rebellious son from a distance, ran to meet him, and welcomed him home. We must celebrate with the feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Oh, then there's older son. He'd stayed on the farm. He had dutifully worked for Dad. He had shown up early every morning. He had dealt with farm in the famine times and the hard times and the good times. Then he comes home from the field one day. He's tired. He's sweaty. He's put in a long day. As he hears the noise of the party, he's incensed when he finds out what it really is. Brother. Brother who should have been here taking care of the farm with me. Brother that should have been out in the field with me today. Brother who should have. He had wasted his inheritance. Now he expected to participate in the farm. Dad would probably give him some of the stuff that really belonged to him. He was going to have to share. Sound like a 2-year-old I know of. Share. Always comes with a wrinkle in her nose. So he rejected his father's invitation, and he missed the reality. Can you be that close to Dad, working with Dad every day, and still miss God's love? Oh, there's some people like that in your life. Says, brother, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me one single thing. Well, a young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by giving him the fattened calf. Can you hear the vengeance, the bitterness? Can you hear it? Does it sound familiar? It's time for us to grow up and be like the father instead of the older son. It's time for us to all grow up and be the father and quit being older son, feeling sorry for ourselves. It's time. The father's response, oh, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Older son missed the reality of the father's love and his expectations of duty and rights. Are you living still by duty and rights? Or have you moved on to being father, sharing love? Father loved his sons as God loves you and me. C.S. Lewis noted, God could, if he chose, repair our bodies miraculously without food, or give us food without the aid of farmers, bakers, and butchers, or knowledge without the aid of learned teachers, or convert the heathen without missionaries. Instead, he allows soils and weather and animals
and the muscles, minds, and wills of people to cooperate in the execution of his will. God so loved the world, he gave his one only Son. Whoever believes in him need not perish, but have everlasting life. He's given us the opportunity to share that truth. Oh, you don't need to quote the scripture. I never asked you to be perfect in quoting scripture. The issue of sharing is not quoting scripture, word for word, paragraph for paragraph, punctuation for punctuation. It's sharing the life. Could God do that without us? Please, God, he could have if he wanted to. But guess what? He didn't choose to. And who's the sovereign God? You don't like his method? Tough. So here's the question. What are you going to do with God's love? Go to a navel-gazing party and think about, wonder how God loves me? Or are we going to start sharing that love with people around us? Watch this video. Let the truth come through. God loves